Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Selah.
Thank you, Autumn. That was great. That's one of my favorite verses, and I'm so glad that Autumn got to share that with us today. You know, if you've ever been on a job interview, you know that the company or you are going to finally get around to asking a very important question. You're going to say, well, what are the benefits? Now, that's not a sign of greed. That's something the company wants to talk about because they want to impress you, but it's also something you want to talk about because it's something that you're going to need. Now, I say that's not a sign of greed. It can be. It can be a sign of greed. Like one guy was in an interview, and the first thing out of his mouth is, what are the benefits for this job? And the guy, the interviewer says, well, I don't know about that. What do you think you ought to get as benefits? He goes, well, first thing is, I think I should get at least a six-figure salary. And the interviewer says, well, let me tell you about the benefits. Then not only do you get a six-figure salary, you get a corner office. You have three assistants that are going to help you with your job. You are going to get 6 weeks of paid vacation every year. Plus, you get 5 sick days every month. Bonuses at Christmas and on your birthday. A new E-Class Mercedes every year. And an expensive count. How does that sound to you? Boy, that guy was giddy. He goes, you've got to be kidding. He goes, yeah, but you started it. I want to talk to you today about some benefits that we have as a Christian. So I'm going to talk to Christians mostly this morning. If you're born again, these are benefits that came along with the salvation package, if you will. Now, some of these benefits we're going to really love. There's one of them in there. I'm sorry it's in there, but it's a good one. I'll tell you that later. But I also want to talk to somebody here today that does not know Jesus as their Savior. I want you to understand this morning what we're talking about is something you're going to receive the moment that you give your heart to Jesus. This benefit package will be yours to enjoy. And I know that God wants us to understand these benefits. He's not trying to impress us, but he is hoping, really, that he's hoping that we're going to start utilizing, taking advantage of the benefits. You know, some people have benefits with their company that they don't utilize because they don't realize, they don't know, they don't see that it's there, you know, for them, it's there for them. These benefits are for us, and I pray to God that we'll start using them regularly. The psalmist said, as we heard, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefit, even the God of our salvation. Did you hear that? Daily he does this. Not only does he give you, it doesn't trickle, he loads you with benefit. And I think one of our biggest problems is we don't see the benefit and we don't praise him for the benefit the way that we ought to. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, he says in chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. This is where we get off track. When we say God loads us daily with blessing, you know what we're looking for? A new car, big house, fancy clothes, money in the bank. Those are the kinds of things. But Paul tells us what he does load us with daily, spiritual blessings. What I'm going to share with you this morning are spiritual blessings that God loads you with each and every day. Because there are certain benefits that are associated with certain relationships. Because you are a child of God, like we just sang, because you are born again, these benefits are yours. If you were related, closely related to Angie, you would get much more of those baked goods. It's the same thing with God. The closer we are, the more of a relationship that we have, the more of these blessings that he is going to pour upon us. And if you're saved today, I want you to hear these six benefits that are yours and you need to start utilizing. They all start with the letter P, help you maybe understand or to remember them a little bit better. And the greatest benefit that we have as a Christian is, number one, the privilege of prayer. The privilege of prayer. I'm so thankful we, as a church, were able to come together this morning in this sanctuary and pray for our church, pray for our future, pray for the Pastor Search Committee and what God is going to do. But listen, beloved, for the saved, you have this wonderful, glorious benefit of prayer. Now, here's the thing about benefits. Some benefits are never used. It's such a shame to let your benefits just languish, especially this benefit of prayer. Don't let it languish. Utilize the privilege of prayer. Listen, this is prayer in a nutshell. Here we are, sinful, finite, insignificant people, and we are granted an audience with the eternal, holy, omnipotent God. God has said in his word, I want you to come boldly before my throne. It's a throne of grace where you're going to find help in time of trouble. The Apostle Paul, still writing to the Ephesians, he said in chapter 2 and verse 13, he said, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. The picture that Paul is talking about there is this: is the temple where they worship God. Now, as a Jewish person, you could go in and you could go into the inner chamber, that place where the sacrifices are done, but you could go no further. As a Gentile or as a woman, you couldn't even come that far. We were far off from God. But when Jesus Christ went on that cross and when he gave his life, the Bible says that that veil that blocked the Holy of Holies, the inner sanctum, was ripped from top to bottom. God was opening the way for us to come to him in a very personal way whenever we want. Now, here's the application. I know a lot of you have made a doctor's appointment, and you've gone to that doctor's appointment, and you get there maybe 15 minutes early because they always have something for you to fill out. And so you wait, and you sit there, and you wait, and you sit there, and 45 minutes later, they say, the doctor will see you now. No, he's not. You're just going to go into another room, and you're going to sit there and wait and sit there and wait. And finally, an hour later, you get to see the doctor. Or how about this? Some of you have, you know, had to call customer service about your phone or your internet or your television or something, and they play that horrible music. And you wait and you wait and you wait. Here's what I want you to understand today. You have access to the most important, powerful God in the universe. He is a God who knows you. He knows everything about you. He knew that before you got saved. He knew exactly who you're going to be. And he says to you, come into my presence. There's no waiting. I won't put you on hold. There's not going to be any horrible music that you have to listen to. You can just come right in. You can sit down, stand up, lay down, however you want to do it, and you can have a conversation with God. With God. What an awesome privilege that we have. Where the creator of the universe tells us to boldly come. That means we don't have to worry about what we say. He understands. He knows our heart, and we can come into his very presence anytime for anything, and he'll be there. And he will hear you when you pray. And he will answer your prayer. Isn't that a great way to start today? Man, we have this privilege of prayer. The second benefit of a believer is that we have the providence of God, the providential care of God. Now, we learned about the providence of God on Wednesday night and Sunday night when we were talking about in the book of Esther and also in the book of Nehemiah several months ago we talked about how the providence of God works. The providence of God is realizing that God goes before you in everything. God has a plan for you. It's all laid out. The providence of God refers to God's control and God's care of everything that he has created and now he sustains. Providence is God's sovereign, divine oversight of all things, guiding them, making sure. We saw that with Esther. Esther just happened to come into the king, and he selected her to be his bride, and now she had some influence. She had an audience with the king. Nehemiah was the same way. He was the cupbearer. He tasted the food to make sure it wasn't poison for the king. And one day he came into the king's presence with a sad look on his face, and the king said, "What's wrong?" He says, "My nation is in turmoil. I need to go." And the king gave him everything he needed. So that's the providence of God. You just happen to be at the right place at the right time because God works all things out together for good to them that love the Lord. So what does this mean for us today? It means that a saved person does not have to worry about their enemies. If God is for us, the Bible says, who can be against us? We have him as in relationship with him, and we have him. It means that a saved person does not have to worry about opportunities for advancement, because Jesus said, "I am he that opens the door that no man shuts, and I shut the door that no man opens." And he says, "And behold, I have set an open door for you that no man can shut. For thou hast little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name." Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. You don't have to worry about what's coming tomorrow. He's opened the doors and he'll shut the doors. A saved person doesn't have to worry or fret about circumstances because God has promised that all things are going to work together for good. All things. So a saved person also doesn't have to be discouraged over your own mistakes. You don't have to say, "Well, I'm useless to God now." The Bible says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. The psalmist in Psalm 37:23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." Listen to this. "Though he fall," that righteous man, "though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." Our life is pictured beautifully in these two verses. We are walking with our Heavenly Father. We have his hand, he has our hand in his hand, and we're walking along. Do we stumble? Do we fall? Do we make mistakes? Of course we do. But we don't have to fall completely down. You think about that when you had little kids or grandkids and you're walking along and they stumble. You don't let them fall to the ground and get their knees all skinned up, do you? You hold on to them. You set them back on their feet. That's exactly what your Heavenly Father does with you. He sets you back on your feet. Now listen, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that you can understand God's providence. You can't. I can't. The Bible says God's ways are not our ways. His understanding is above our understanding. But what I'm saying is that you can trust him. You can rest in his providential care over your life. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. I think we will have to wait until heaven, because that day when we walk into his presence, we're going to understand why all these things happened, how this was his providential care. We're going to see when we get to heaven how he loaded us daily with benefit. Just remember God's word, daily loading with benefits. There are many times that we miss God's providential care, things that he's doing to protect us, to provide for us, that we never realize. The world calls it things like luck or fate, karma. I don't know, some even say that our good works bring about our blessing. But for the Christian, it's God's providential care for us. That's why we're blessed. That's why we have these benefits. That's why we have the power of prayer. Because God is blessing us with these things. Thirdly, we have a benefit of the peace of God. Having peace, now, is not to be misunderstood with not having conflict in your life. Not having troubles. That's going to happen. In fact, most frequently, I talk to people when they're going through a hard time. They will say something on the lungs of, but I have a peace about this. They've lost a loved one. They're hurting. They've taken a hit at work or something. They go, I don't know what it is, but I just have peace. You see, and only a Christian can have that kind of peace because the Bible says that peace is a fruit of the Spirit. So only a Christian can have this kind of peace. The kind of peace I'm talking about is what Paul said to the Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything in prayer, that's number one, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Beloved, we don't have to understand it. We just have to accept it. Jesus said in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And I know too many Christians today who worry. Boy, they worry about everything. They worry about things when there's nothing to worry about. And they go, oh no, what's coming? We worry and it does us no good. And yes, I know many Christians who fret, live in fear, but it does no good. Somebody says, you know, I don't have enough money to pay for my bills this month. What am I going to do? And they wring their hands and they look at their bills and they wring their hands and they sit there all day long looking at the bills and wringing their hand. It doesn't do you any good. What do we need to do? We need to pray. We need to trust God's providential care in our life. We need to let Him watch over us. Because the Word of God says, whoever believes on Him shall not be ashamed. See, I don't need to worry anymore. I can. I did. Sometimes I still do, but I don't need to. I don't need to worry about anything because the Bible says He shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. In Matthew 6:32, Jesus gave us a very key point. He says, for your heavenly Father knoweth all that you have need of, all these things. He's talking about shelter, clothing, food, all of that. He knows what you need. But verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Sadly, we as Christians, we want to meet our own needs. We want to do it ourselves. We're going to go out there and show God what we can do. And God is saying, all I want you to do is search for me, seek me. Get up in the morning and pray. Get up in the morning and read your word. Get up and commit every day to the Lord. He said, I'll take care of everything else for you. So many in this world have the wrong priority. Their priority is for success. And the Christian is going to find success only in searching for Jesus. We should always try to do our best, but we need to find that pleasing God ought to be the number one goal in our life so that we're not intimidated by people or enemies or adversaries. Beloved, the Bible says that Satan is always out there trying to get you to focus on your problems, focus on your needs, focus on your inadequacies, focus on your circumstances, focus on the opposition, when God wants us meditating on His promises, on His power, on His provision, on His presence, on His providence. And when we do that, we will have the constant peace that He promises us. Isaiah 26 says, God will keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed on Him. Our fourth benefit is a permanent partnership with Jesus Christ. An eternal security, but I wanted to keep it with the peace. It's a permanent partnership with Jesus Christ. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, what is going to separate me from the love of God? And he begins this big, long list, how tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. And he says, no, all these things can't do that. He goes on in verse 38, he says, neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing in all of creation is able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a powerful thing to say. Nothing can separate you. Once you've come into that relationship, you are adopted. You are a child of the King. You're a child of God. And nothing is going to separate that. Jesus said, I have come that you might have eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Did you know that one of the most important ingredients in a relationship is unconditional love? We live in a world, a generation, where couples make vows to each other before God, and later they break them. You know why? Well, I just don't love him anymore. That's not unconditional love, is it? We live in a time where parents are deserting their children because they found someone that they've fallen in love with who doesn't want to have children, so they leave the children behind. We have employers who discard promises that they have made to their employees. There's a word I love to use, and it describes us so much. We are fickle. We're fickle people. You know, we love as long as we're being loved. We give as long as they're giving. But as soon as that stops, well, then it's over. And there are multitudes today that are saying, is there anywhere that I can find unconditional love? And I say, yes, there is. It's found in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. God himself made a promise in Proverbs 18:24. He said, a friend loveth at all times, and there is a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. He's talking about himself. He will never leave you. Now listen, I don't understand that kind of love. I really don't. I know I don't deserve that kind of love, but I'm certainly not going to reject it either. When you get saved, you're receiving that kind of relationship with God, a permanent partnership with Jesus Christ, who will never leave you, who will never forsake you. Number five, this is the one. We were such on a good roll. Punishment when you sin is a benefit. Punishment for sin is a benefit of Christianity. Let me explain that. When you have, let's say, some neighborhood kids in your backyard playing with your child, and they start getting into some trouble, they start getting into a fight, what do? You go out there and tell all of them to go home and go to their room and don't come out until... No, you don't do that, do you? You get your child. Come here, Johnny. Go to your room. We'll talk in a few minutes. See, what I'm trying to tell you is punishing chastisement is what we call it for the child of God. The Word of God says that God chastises His children. So if you find yourself under chastisement, if you feel like God is disciplining you in some sort of way, praise God. Because it is a proof of your salvation. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 says, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives. That's who he will chasten. Then verse 8 says, but if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you illegitimate and not sons? If you are allowed to sin, to do life the way you want, and no repercussion, is because God is not your father. God is just, you know, you're just out there on your own, living for the world. Our Heavenly Father is going to chastise His children. And God is very patient with His children. The psalmist said in Psalm 103, verse 10, He has not dealt with us after our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. There are going to be times in your life that you're going to mess up, but there's going to be this feeling on the inside that what you're doing is not right. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come into your heart and begin to convict you of that sin. And if you're not corrected of the Holy Spirit, you're not a child of God. So even this one that sounds so horrible is actually a benefit to you. Now let me ask you to think about that. Have you ever come under conviction after you did something wrong or said something wrong and you just knew that it was wrong? Well, it's the Holy Spirit. So you can say, praise God. When that happens, confess your sin and get it over with. Because if you don't, God will keep bringing in some troubles until you get around to confessing that sin. Because He wants His child to live a pure and holy life. Be holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. Well, we have one more benefit. Being saved gives us a place in God's home in heaven. If you have made a personal relationship with God, if you have confessed your sin, confess that He is God, ask Him to come into your heart. The Bible says you are saved. And at that very moment, He has a personal and eternal place in heaven for you. When David wrote Psalm 23, the temple wasn't built at all. But this is what he said. He said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's not talking about being in the temple. He's talking about heaven. Now, what can we expect when we get there? I don't know. I really don't. The Apostle Paul said, eye has not seen nor ear heard. It hasn't even entered into the heart of man what great things God has prepared for them that love Him. But what the Bible does tell us is that we have the Lord Jesus Christ promising that He's going to prepare a place for you, a home for you in heaven, in the Father's house. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus said there is a place that He prepares for you in the Father's house. Right now, child of God, in heaven, there's a place prepared for you. Now again, I don't understand this kind of love. I can only thank God for that kind of love. But what the Bible says is when a sinner obeys Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. An eternal transaction takes place. First, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's there permanently. It cannot be erased. Secondly, a place, a mansion, a reservation is made for you in the Father's house. And when your days on this earth are ended, you'll go to live with Jesus forever, that where He is, you may be also. Someone once said the statistics of death are quite impressive. One out of every one dies. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, judgment. Some people die suddenly. Some people die unexpectedly. Some people die prematurely. But the fact is, all will die. The question I want you to answer before you leave here today is, where will you be? Where will you spend eternity? It could be heaven. The Bible says to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. A born-again believer closes their eyes on this earth and immediately is in the presence of God in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. And if you're here today, you know Jesus. He is your Savior. You are following Him. All of these wonderful benefits and so many more are yours. The privilege of prayer, the power of God's providence, the peace of God, which passes all understanding. You have a permanent partnership with God. You have loving punishment when you sin. And you have a permanent place in God's home called heaven. If you're here today and you've never made a commitment to Jesus Christ, you've never asked Him into your heart, you have none of these, but you can before you leave here today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to think about your eternity today. We have people right now who are praying for you. We pray that God would open your heart, open your life to Him. The Bible says all have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And the wages of those sins is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe you're here today and you realize that you don't have these wonderful benefits, that you need to be saved. I want you to think about that decision right here, right now. Because today, that can all be changed. All the blessings of God can be yours before you walk out of here. And with our heads bowed, I want you to pray this prayer to God. Just say, "Dear Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of all my sin. Come into my heart. Come into my life. And I trust you, Jesus, to save me. I trust you to take me to heaven when I die." And pray that in Jesus' name. Now, with our heads still bowed and eyes closed, maybe you prayed that prayer with me this morning. I want to recognize you so that I can pray for you. I won't call you down. I just want to pray for you. Would you just raise your hand up? Let me see that hand, and then we'll move on. Pray that prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have these wonderful benefits. Thank you that we have these things in our life that you have loaded us with, and daily you continue to load us. Help us to see the spiritual blessings that we have because of our relationship with you. And let us praise you all the more for what you have done. This is our prayer in Jesus' name, for his sake and glory. Amen. We're going to stand and have a hymn of invitation. I'm inviting you today to come. Make a public profession of faith. Maybe you want to talk to us about believers' baptism or even church membership. Whatever your need may be, let's stand together. Let's sing. You come on this first stanza.